Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends. Welcome into the Eric Zane Show podcast, the daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports studio. Impact Power Sports, you can find them online at impactpowersportsmi.com. Great place to pick up a Yamaha golf cart. Perhaps you want to purchase an ATV. How about a side-by-side, a utility vehicle? Great for stick picking up chores. Motorcycles, e-bikes, go-karts. They have it all at Impact Power Sports. They are in Rockford, Michigan. The popcorn is free. The smiles are free that you will get at Impact Power Sports. Alan is here. All caps. He writes, Big Fraud Book Club, Risen from the Dead. Yeah, this was incredible. 25 minutes yesterday on Patreon for Big Fraud Book Club. Our second book that we've reviewed in it, the first book was Nikki Sixx Heroin Diaries. We did that over two episodes, reviewed it. It was fine. Then we started reading the book Martyr by Kaveh Akbar. Numerous attacks on the book in this show, talking about how much I hated it. I wasn't sure how it was going to go yesterday when we were reviewing it, and the craziest damn thing happened. There was probably like 10 of us discussing it. And I thought it was just going to be, this book sucks. And then some questions were asked. And the next thing you know, more questions were asked. And we were then like completely wondering out loud various things about the book as to what the author was trying to do. And then we're like, you know, maybe there's more to this book than we thought. And I think we kind of left Big Fraud Book Club yesterday thinking that we didn't know really what hit us. I know that when I read this book and when I was done, I was done. I didn't give it a second thought. But it wasn't until Book Club that somehow, I forget how it all started, we started to pick apart the ending. I think it had something to do with Anthony Jeselnik. Maureen asked a question. Anthony Jeselnik said that there were two twists. What was the second twist? And then that led to the discussion that took us like, oh, well, wait a minute. Holy shit, maybe he... Maureen says, ha! It made us think. Alan says, I enjoyed the strays I caught from Maureen and EZ. You see, Alan watched Book Club, but he's not like in Book Club. Anyway, the point of all this is it turned out to be a quite an enjoyable book club. The first three were fine, but when we all kind of had the realization that there was much more to this book, Martyr. Now, I think overall, I actually can't say that I would encourage somebody to not read it. But at the same time, I made the point that this might be for the type of person who's a super experienced reader and can pick up when or not when an author is. I don't know. It wasn't that difficult. Maybe I'm making it more difficult than it is. Maybe I'm just too dumb to figure out what happened. This book left a lot open to interpretation. After finishing Book Club, I looked up ending of the book, Martyr Explained. And that's kind of where it was, that it's open to interpretation. But it was great how we all were like, yeah, fuck this book. And then we're like, oh, wait a minute. It's not that. Oh, I see. I get it. And I know it seemed like everybody had quite an enjoyable time with the discussion. I know I did. Out of the four book club shows that we've done, to me, that one was the most memorable. And it had it was good. I liked it. And it's on Patreon if you want to check it out. If you want to be in book club, the book that we're reading now is called The Way of Shadows by Brent Weeks. It's right here. This is fantasy book. So you can read that. And then we haven't yet set the date of show number 5 of Big Fraud Book Club, nor have we. It's an open-ended homework assignment. Like, we don't yet say, normally we say, we'll read the first 200 pages or the first 100 pages. We haven't gotten that far yet. But there you go. If you want in on book club, buy the book. Brent Weeks, The Way of Shadows. Start reading it. And then we'll go ahead and schedule book club, Big Fraud Book Club, show number 5. If you want to participate actually in the discussion, it's Patreon only. So you're going to have to be in Patreon. I do make it open, though, to both $5 a month and $10 a month folks. So that's the one video that I do make available to folks who are on $5 a month. If you want to either participate in it or just watch it or listen to it later on. Nick writes, great discussion, changed my idea on the book some. Yeah, some is best. I think, dare I say, I think I was so, what's that word they use in Shawshank Redemption? Obtuse while reading it. I'm not even sure if I'm using that word correctly. It might require a second reading. Dare I say? Now, that's completely opposite. I've been saying, this book sucks. Fuck this book. But I think now, knowing what is going on there, and or at least how we think, and how that writer is writing, and you know, the use of metaphor and whatnot, it made me go, fuck. God, I had no idea you had to be such a fucking thinker to enjoy books. Books make you think. Fuck that. Megan says, the one thing we all unpacked at the end was a game changer. Black Belt Nick says, I was so angry at the artist character. It definitely affected how I interpreted the ending. All right. So that's how that went. So now book club's not dead, and I'm glad that I didn't pull the plug on it. I was tempted to, but I had to get out of my comfort zone. This is a short work week for your old pal EZ. Thursday is the last day of podcasting. I will post material for the Friday edition, both on the free platform and on Patreon. I will feature something to listen to while I'm away. It is a stick picking up extravaganza at Fear Bunker North for your old pal EZ. EZ, Pooh Bear, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Cannot wait. It is a perfect opportunity to concentrate on only one task. And that is sticks. I think that's a fantastic time when so much of your time during the week is regimented, doing things that are important for the function of the household and or the business. For me, being that I work at home, it is all, excuse me, podcast, podcast-related work, classroom-related work for teaching, and house chores. And I have, okay, What I have been doing lately is, like I said to you, I have been working very, very hard to make sure that Pooh Bear doesn't have to do all the laundry. Laundry in this household gets out of control, and it's just us two and the NFK. I can't even begin to think about what she had to go through when all those kids were here. So lately I've been like, you know, how about I'll do a little bit more around here because she's got her plate full as well. And frankly, I think she's has to put more into her work day than I do. So I kind of want to do really kind of like focus on doing as much of the laundry as I possibly can. So I got it down where I've got the appropriate separating of the clothes down, the whites, the towels, the delicates, the regular cycle, the bedding that the dog pees on regularly, and then wash, dry, fold. I'm a folder, and I love folding. And then I put it all back, and then she then puts them in the requisite drawers for each family member. So that's like been a high priority. So there's that. Not to mention lawn cutting. Yesterday was the first time in fucking forever that I have cut the grass. And we're to the point in the year where it's not growing nearly as much, but I'm not kidding you. The backyard hasn't been mowed in a month. It was so long that the upper portions of each blade of grass were so high that the lower near the ground grass wasn't getting sunlight. So much so that when I mowed, there were brown patches everywhere because the grass closer to the ground wasn't getting any sunlight. It was completely like blacked out. So now the lawn looks like a huge pile of shit. But I got it all done. It took forever to mow because it was so long I had to mow it at one setting for the mower and then lower it. I kept having to re-mow everything. I walked miles to get this done. My phone was actually keeping track of how far I went. And so I got that all done. And there were three moments that I almost mowed a frog, three separate frogs. But thank God they got out of the way. There's nothing worse when you're mowing a frog. And that's happened several times this year. You're going along. And I'm always like, especially when the grass is that long, they love it around here. And these are big frogs that are here. They're about the size of a McDonald's hamburger patty. And you know it when you mow them because you know it. And you're like, uh-oh. And you can feel it kind of like hit the inside of that, of the mow deck. Something that's not grass has struck. And then you kind of like, and you see like, a third of a frog over here and a half of a frog face is over here. And it's like, and it's twitching a little. Megan says, just like a baby bunny. Did you mow a bunny? I've not mowed a bunny, but I didn't someone on this show mow a bunny? Yeah. Bunny mowing is enough to put you in like the loony bin if you actually mow a bunny. Alan writes, I sent a streaky gopher through the zero turn this summer. It felt like I hit a rock. Black Belt Nick says, I mowed a snake. Megan says it was not me, but I have heard. She said a baby bunny would have me never mow again. Oh, right. There is, bad moments in time when things like that take place. But mowed bunny is... Yeah, that's a world you don't want to live in. I didn't like to think about it. You know, it makes me cringe. Maureen says, I would not feel bad about mowing a snake. I hate those damn things. You know, you have a dark side. Snakes are cool as shit. Bread Bull Brain Chris says, I have mowed field mice, the bigger ones. I had a moment where I got the snowblower out and there was a mom and all the baby mice and they were like still attached to her. I think she like gave birth to the mice about 43 seconds before I moved the snowblower. And she was dragging them behind her. It was like a rope of mice. And I was like, what the fuck is that? A rope of baby mice being dragged by the mama mouse. Black Belt Nick says, I hate snakes too. Auto freeze when I see them. Becca Shea, nope, no snakes. You? No, I like them. We have garter snakes around here. And Rocky, the neighbor's cat, turned into a fucking trained assassin. We had two snakes, Mr. Snake and Mrs. Snake, these big garter snakes. And she killed them both. Or he killed them both. So I was bummed out about that. He has slaughtered dozens of birds. The chipmunks in my yard get it. The squirrels get it. The bunnies get it. And I just noticed that there's like new snakes now. There's new snakes creeping around the yard. They're cool as hell. But it won't be long until dickhead Rocky eats them. That's the Alleluia's cat, who's just vicious. My point in all of this was the week for me is you take all those moments, podcast related, chore related, getting the NFK to the dock, this, that, the other thing. There is never a good reason to sit around here and do nothing. There's always something to be done. And there is no relaxing. It's just gone. And I know people will be like, well, that's a bad recipe. It's like, correct. But unfortunately, that's the world that, I mean, I signed up for this. I was going to like 8 or 9 last night doing various things that are boring, but work related that have to be done. So I find myself when I'm here, if I'm quietly like doing nothing, I'm like, something's off. This is not right. The only time that I sat still in the last, I don't know how long, was when I was reading that book, Martyr, for a couple hours on Sunday to get done with the homework assignment. That's it. So when I go up north, just the idea of, okay, my big priority here is picking up sticks. And that's all I'm concerned with. It makes that seem like the greatest vacation ever. The fortress of solitude. I hope and pray that every one of you have your fortress of solitude. It could be the toilet when you're sitting there on the toilet looking at your phone or reading. As long as you've got that place where you're like, all right, I am letting go of everything. It's so important. Chris from Buffalo getting in here. Morning tune, man, and hello, friends. Hello to you, Chris. Good news. I knew it was going to happen. Have you ever heard of the phrase, if you're ever looking for something that you have lost, stop looking for it and you will find it. I have found what I was looking for and I didn't even have to look for it. I might not make sense, but I knew that the keys to the gun safe were gone. I told you about that and I was like, God damn it. I got to get all new guns. I cannot get into the safe. Badger says gun safe key. He knew it. He typed that before I even said it. But I found the fucking keys. I was so happy because now I was going to get the whole arsenal because I got a buddy who I'm going to meet up north. And I said, we're going to blow through all the old ammo. Oh, my God. And I put on a pair of shorts the other day and I go, what's this in the pocket? There they are, the keys. Oh, my God. I immediately opened up the safe and just walked in and just like was like absorbing myself. Yes. Yes. Cole says probably make spare keys. Well, here's, you know what's ridiculous about this? The keychain that the key is on, it has three keys. They're all the same. And they're all on the same goddamn keychain. So I lost all three keys at the same time. Also, buy more guns anyway. You're already thinking about it. I was looking at this vintage bolt action 30-06 or 20-06. I don't know what the fuck it is. Or there's also an AR-15. And I, look, there's an AR-15 that I wanted to get. And I know people are like, oh my God. You're a murderer. You're going to go shoot up something. You are vile and evil. What the fuck is wrong with you? I'm not even going to entertain that argument. You stupid bastard. Go read more shit online that you don't know anything about. Cole says, buy more guns anyway. You're already thinking about it. My favorite thing to do is get a gun. A person who doesn't know anything about guns and hates guns. Like Madison. Who Madison thinks that because I have guns, I'm going to go shoot people. I go, what the fuck? All right. I am going to reboot, ladies and gentlemen. I am rebooting right now. So I'm going to shut this down and I will reboot. My apologies. Here we go. All right. A reboot hopefully took care of it. I don't know. Sorry, folks. From my standpoint, I was just talking. All of a sudden, I start seeing comments like, wait a minute, what's going on? Everybody's losing their minds. Uh-oh. Okay. My investigation yesterday yielded me nothing. Cole says, don't you have a Twitch insider guy? Probably need to reach out to him. I don't anymore, unfortunately. David says, time for a better platform. Twitch sucks. Rebecca says, Twitch is making a run for asshole of the day again. You know, you've got a routine and you don't like the apple cart upset. And that is a very flattering thing to me. So I appreciate people like, oh, come on, I need this. This is messing everything up for me. All right. Well, keep me informed as it is on your end. Kind of ruined the spell of what I was talking about. I don't even recall anymore. I think it was gun related. And then I think the last thing I remember is Chris in Buffalo, which I didn't read this, said a horrible joke. He writes, when I was talking about guns, getting an AR-15, he says, yeah, I was looking at the Kirk Killer 900. Too soon? Yeah, it might be. I think you're safe here. Badger says YouTube works fine. Well, for now, I'll just keep on keeping on, and hopefully this will sort itself out. Aram says maybe it is Twitch. I think it is. We actually talked about this yesterday. We did have confirmation from our pals Yoda Whirl and Tophus, who said that they talked to other streamers and they're having the same issue. And but I what specifically it is not known. Nevertheless, we press on. Coming up later on this evening, it is a Big Fraud Wednesday. And we're doing Who Are These Free Beers show number 70? Yes, show number 70. And I cannot wait to get to it again. I got a couple of tip-offs on content. I've mentioned Pat Phipps before. Pat is, he's one of the MAGA gang. And he's a terrific follower of the content and sends me awesome timestamps. And he did a bang-up job, including this. There's a segment that I'm going to feature where Steve is telling a story. And one of the things that we've parked on is Steve has really been leaning into his son for content. And look, if Steve's walking down the street and he sees baby Jesus come down from the sky, when he's describing what he saw, it's going to be boring. Not only in how he tells it, but just his actual, the sound of his voice. He has a very awful delivery and tone. It's when I do this impression of Steve, it's like that. That's how Steve sounds. So anyway, yeah, Steve ordering pizza. Yeah, I'll take a medium. Two toppings, I'll have pepperoni and sausage, extra cheese, and I'll take two bottles of Coke, if you could deliver that.
That's Steve.
Hey, it's Eric Zane, and UncommonGoods.com is a great place to shop for the holidays. I just picked up a Himalayan salt barbecue plank. It's a square, 8 inches by 8 inches, inch and a half thick, made of Himalayan salt. You put it on the grill and your veggies on top of the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Oh my gosh, what a way to season the veggies with the Himalayan salt barbecue plank. Just one of the thousands of items for sale for everyone at uncommongoods.com. I love that when you're shopping for Christmas gifts at uncommongoods.com, you've got stuff for readers, for nerds, for travelers, for foodies, sports fans, for music lovers. Everything under the sun can be found at uncommongoods.com. The kids are like, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? And I go, well, just go to uncommongoods.com and find something that you know I'll like. And you can do the same thing. And I've got a special deal for you. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/Zane. That's uncommongoods.com/Zane. You'll get 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Hello, friends. Your old pal Eric Zane with a word about ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from my friends over at Secret Nature. This is like the best thing that's happened to me in a long time. I partnered with them. You can learn more at secretnature.com/Zane, and you'll also get a special deal there. But my gosh, during the daytime, I've got a daytime gummy that helps me stay focused, gives me steady lift. It's a fantastic, clean vibe within my system. Prior to Secret Nature, I found during the day that I was up and down, and I was like, what is happening to me? But ever since I started using the ultra premium CBD gummies with real botanicals from Secret Nature, those problems are in the past. And people say to me, EZ, when you're talking about this, what do you mean by a clean feeling? I'd say steady, balanced, not overpowering. I just get more done and feel better throughout the day. Probably because Secret Nature is organic, farm-grown, never lab-made. Ultra-premium CBD gummies with real botanicals. Nothing extra. The best in the business. Bliss is what I use during the day for clear focus and productive flow. I want to wind down? Snoozers. Unwind and rest at the end of the day. Consistent, measured CBD per gummy, so there's no guessing. Intentional formulations that feel clean and slot naturally into your routine. Now, this is where you try it. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. That's secretnature.com, code Zane. Try Bliss during the day, snoozers in the evening, and let me know how it goes. Again, 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. secretnature.com, code Zane. Secret Nature. Steve, though, one of things that we've talked about he does is he buys time on all of his stories by really focusing on the backstory. And just way too much of it. And boy, does he lean into it with this one. This comes from the week of September 8th to the 12th. And thank you to Pat Phipps for sending it my way. I was able to pull a ton of material of this long-winded, painful story that he tells with zero zip, zero punch, nothing. So bad. Desperately terrible. We'll feature that. Ben Glaze has a number of clips that he is going to feature. So that is part of Who Are These Free Beers coming up 6 p.m. Eastern, Patreon only. Sign up for 7 days free, patreon.com/Eric Zane. If you love supporting the show and you like the content and you're like, boy, I wish there was more content, that's where you get it. Patreon. I post new material every single day in addition to what I do here. That's why it takes so much time to do a podcast. That's why I'm so damn busy. Free podcast. Patreon podcast. I want you, the consumer, to have as much as you want. And Patreon is enough to satisfy that, hopefully, for all of you. Now, the last thing I want you to do, though, is be like, all right, Zane's kind of a loser. I'm just going to get Patreon and then not even listen to it. Yeah, I don't need that. I mean, I'll take it, but what I'm looking for is the person who needs more content or enjoys this enough that they want to get the other shows that I feature. And it's not just Who Are These Free Beers. That's only once a week. I do the daily Patreon bonus podcast, which the last week has had some terrific moments that just aren't talked about on the free podcast. Gives you some insight to some things going on that I think you'd be interested in. I really do. Not to mention the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast tonight. So go to Patreon and sign up for 7 days free. Patreon.com/Eric Zane. Cole writes, is the Steve and Pedo show still a thing? Who the fuck would listen to that? Well, I don't know about a show called Steve and the Pedo. I'm not aware of that. But I am aware of the Steve and Kyle show. And you can draw your own conclusions. And I think it is still a thing. Man Bun Chris says that Andrew Cloudkicker is aware. Oh, Andrew Cloudkicker. Holy shit. I think the anxiety that I felt when Andrew Cloudkicker reached out to me via Facebook was equally as horrible as when I got fired 2 months earlier from Free Beer. The 2 month earlier thing when I got fired is when I had never felt anxiety before, and it was terrible. I mean, it was debilitating. That's when I contemplated suicide 3 times over like a 48-hour period. I was almost institutionalized. I actually did go, and they almost kept me against my will, but they did not work through it. It's done, but before it was done, 2 months later, this whistleblower reaches out to me and gives me some information about something terrible and informs me some awful news about something radio related. I'm keeping it vague on purpose because I'm smart. And what? Huh? Who is a what? I march down the hallway and I go walking up to my coworker and I said, yeah, somebody just blew the whistle on you. Is this true? And I said, have you been incarcerated? Have you been convicted of a crime? Yes. What? Run, stay there. Run down to the boss. Hey, we got a problem. This is 6 days into my job at BBL. We got a problem. What? All right. This is what I got sent to me. This is the conversation I just had. Oh, my God. The next day, I do the radio show by myself. The guy that I was talking to never set foot in the radio station ever again. I'll never forget. I was laying on the floor of the studio. I couldn't even stand. I was so riddled with anxiety. Ugh. The worst. That all could be about anybody. You have no idea who it is. Man Bun Chris says, wasn't that like the third day in? No, it was... It was 6 days into my time at BBL. I started the show on a Thursday. I did the Thursday show. I did a Friday show, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday through Thursday. Thursday, the next Thursday is when this was revealed to me. When, do you remember Michael Gray? Michael Gray was on the air on mornings on BBL doing the sports show, whatever the fuck. Nobody listened. That's one thing that's constant throughout my years. If Michael Gray's on the radio, no one's listening. When Cumulus called me and said, we want to put you on BBL. I said, okay. And the first thing that happened was they said, we want to meet you. And we wandered over to Pepino's or some shit like that to eat. And the guy who was running the radio station at BBL is a guy named Jeff Cartwright. He's a fucking dickhead. And the general manager was a guy, I forget his name, but he's a nice guy. And we go to this place and we're talking and some audience members come up to say hi and get a picture. And Cartwright's such a dick bag that he goes, did you set these guys up to like improve your clout? I go, no. What the fuck is wrong with you? And so then the next meeting is another restaurant. And he goes, we're not going to tell you where we're going till we're almost there. So that he's telling me this. He still thinks that I set that up. And so I'm like, well, that's just dumb, but all right. We go to another restaurant and nothing happens. But then I'm walking out. And while we're walking out, this guy stops me. It's an audience member. It's the same thing. And it turns out that that guy, that audience member, was Drew from Impact Power Sports. I think it was Drew. It was either Drew or one of you, but I think it was Drew. And then they were like, oh, shit. So then I soaked them for every fucking penny I could. And that eventually dried up 2.5 years later when I got fired. But so this is like 1 month after I've been fired. And there's a lot of things that have to happen in that month between them agreeing to the contract and then getting on the air. So much so that 3 or 4 weeks passes. So I've been out of work for 2 months. The first month, I didn't have any prospects. Then this opened up. So then that's now what they're going to do is they're going to fire Michael Gray. And this is the guy who was on GRD when I showed up at GRD and he got fired because he sucked and they put us on. So now I'm going to be involved in his second firing in Grand Rapids. But he doesn't know it. So I know he's a dead man walking, but of course I don't say anything about it, but someone does. And I don't know how the fuck that happened because the only people that knew about it were, you know, personnel within the radio station, but somebody, you know, tipped off Michael Gray and he's not supposed to know. And so I wasn't quite prepared to go on the air yet, but he goes in to Cartwright's office, and according to what Cartwright told me, he throws his key card on the desk, and he's furious that he knows. So he quits or whatever the fuck happens. I don't. And then he posts a cryptic post on Facebook that says, "A fish rots from the head down," which. That's what Man Bun Chris says. Remember the post, fish rod from the top down. And I had never heard that. And I was like, what does that mean? And they're like, I think that's something from The Godfather. I don't know. Man Bun Chris says, and Greg liked it. No, you're combining stories. He did not like that one. At this point in time, I have no beef with Free Beer and Hot Wings. Anyway, what's his name? Gray gets all pissed off, and that's the end of Gray. Start the show Thursday because the story leaked. And then 6 days in, the shit hits the fan. Honestly, we were dead in the water before we even started there. I would love another opportunity in mornings. In Grand Rapids Radio, I don't know if that'll ever happen, but I am under 1 million times less pressure now. If I had an opportunity to do mornings, it is a in Grand Rapids. It's no longer make or break because when I started mornings in Grand Rapids. On BBL, it was incredible pressure, which was made 10 times worse when 6 days in, all that shit with Andrew Cloudkicker broke. And it was awful. It was very, very difficult. Now, it would be a supplemental job at best because it's taken me 7 years. Wait, 7 years? It'll be 7 years in January of building this. And this is my primary. This is, all of my, most of my eggs are in this basket, but I've got several other things cooking, as you know, with sports announcing and teaching and whatnot. But my point is there's no pressure anymore. Man Bun Chris says, is that what the hint about another start time is about? So, what you have there is Chris's rabbit ears are up. Well, if I had the opportunity, I definitely would have to change the start time again. But I have nothing. I have no prospects. I'm not going to lie to you. I wouldn't do that to you. I'd give you plenty of warning if that ever came about. Megan says, serious question. Are there many nice people in radio? I know you and Michelle, not jerks, but a lot of others seem awful. Yeah. There's nice people in radio. So there's that. Hello once again, friends. I feel your frustration. As Twitch cut out again. Yoda World says it might be time to reach out to at Twitch support. Oh, without a doubt. Consistently happens at around this same time. I think I should start getting a timer going. Like, maybe it lets me go 20 minutes. And then it's like, all right, let's shut them down. Thank you for your patience. Ben Glaze is here. He says, Steve and Kyle jokingly addressed his radio stint with Eric as a trip to the moon on their podcast. Yeah, it was all stupid. I doubt that Kyle has ever revealed the things about his personal life that I am aware of to Steve. I really doubt that he has done that. Bob says, did you unplug it and plug it back in? Badger says, reach out to Blue Frost IT. Blue Frost IT is outstanding. So on my list of things to do today, reboot the computer and reach out to Twitch. I will do that. I can promise you that. Thank you for your patience in dealing with this. Man Bun Chris says, you're saying reboot the computer wrong. It needs to be reboot the computer. Re-engage Twitch support. Good. I know what you're going to say, boss. You're going to say good. It's what you always say. Did you know that the security detail for Charlie Kirk, as I understand it, was part of Jocko Willink's, I didn't realize he runs a security company, but like Jocko, I think, is the one that was in charge of the whole thing. Was Jocko in charge of Charlie Kirk's security? Wait, Jocko's company was Charlie Kirk's security detail. That's what somebody commented on. Echelon Front. And then I guess it disappeared. I don't know. It seems like a conspiracy theory. Perhaps. Who knows? But I wonder if that is the case. Hello once again, friends. Okay, so I rebooted everything. So that is like, this is my last bullet in the chamber for trying to get this show on Twitch today. However, I have a plan. If it pukes again, I'm going to skip Twitch and go back to Facebook and YouTube only. That's what Rebecca is saying. If it happens again, will you please switch to YouTube? Exactly. So it's down to its final out. It's bottom of the ninth, two outs. If Twitch fails again, I will finish the show on those two platforms. And then hopefully it won't. I don't think it would get screwed up again. And then when I have more time, I will troubleshoot. Okay. I want to get into Jimmy Kimmel. He returned to television. I'm anxious to see how at least part of this goes. I'm definitely not going to sit through the whole thing. He's definitely got home field advantage here. I want to hear what he has to say. do the show.
Thank you. Anyway, as I was saying before I was interrupted, if you're just joining us, we are preempting your regularly scheduled encore episode of Celebrity Family Feud to bring you this special report. I'm happy to be here tonight with you. Had a weirder 48 hours, me or the CEO of Tylenol. It's been overwhelming. I've heard from a lot of people over the last 6 days. I've heard from all the people in the world over the last 6 days. Everyone I have ever met has reached out 10 or 11 times. Weird characters from my past are the guy who fired me from my first radio job in Seattle, where we are not airing tonight, by the way. Sorry, Seattle. His name is Larry. In 1980,
Nextar and Sinclair. There's some broadcasting companies that weren't showing it.
1989, Larry tried to force me to do a bit called Jokes for Donuts, where people would call in with a joke and I would give them donuts. I refused to do it, and then I made a lot of fun of Larry for suggesting it. And eventually, Larry fired me, and I had to move back in with my parents. But even he wrote in to cheer me up. Thank you, Larry, and I want to thank everyone who checked in. Some that I do especially want to mention are my fellow late night talk show hosts, my friend Stephen Colbert. Yeah. Who's found him? My friends Jon Stewart, Seth Meyers, Jimmy Conan O'Brien, James Corden, from late night hosts in other countries. From this country has become so authoritarian, the Germans are like, come here, come loose. My boyhood idols, Howard Stern and David Letterman, were very considerate and kind. And I feel honored to be part of a group of people that knows what goes into doing a show like this. And I also want to thank all of you.
Thanks to
you supported our show, cared enough to do something about it, to make your voices heard so that mine can be heard. I will never forget it. And maybe, really, maybe most of all,
what the fuck?
I want to thank the people who don't support my show and what I believe, but support my right to share those beliefs anyway. Who I never would have imagined. Like Ben Shapiro, Clay Travis, Candace Owens, Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, even my old pal Ted Cruz, who, believe it or not, said something very beautiful on my behalf.
I hate what Jimmy Kimmel said. I am thrilled that he was fired.
Oh, wait, no, not that. The other part.
But let me tell you, if the government gets in the business of saying,
we can't say
what you, the media, have said, we're going to ban you from the airwaves if you don't say what we like. That will end up bad for conservatives.
I don't think I've ever said this before, but Ted Cruz is right. He's absolutely right. This affects all of us, including him. I mean, think about it. If Ted Cruz can't speak freely, then he can't cast spells on the Smurfs. Even though I don't agree with many of those people on most subjects, some of the things they say even make me want to throw up. It takes courage for them to speak out against this administration, and they did, and they deserve credit for it, and thanks. For telling your followers that our government cannot be allowed to control what we do and do not say on television, and that we have to stand up to it. I've been hearing a lot about what I need to say and do tonight, and the truth is, I don't think what I have to say is going to make much of a difference. If you like me, you like me. If you don't, you don't. I have no illusions about changing anyone's mind. But I do want to make something clear because it's important to me as a human. And that is, you understand that it was never my intention to make light of the murder of a young man. I don't think there's anything funny about it.
I posted a message on Instagram on the day he was killed, sending love to his family and asking for compassion. And I meant it. And I still do. Nor was it my intention to blame any specific group for the actions of what it was obviously a deeply disturbed individual. That was really the opposite of the point I was trying to make. But I understand that to some that felt either ill-timed or unclear, or maybe both. And for those who think I did point a finger, I get why you're upset. If the situation was reversed, there's a good chance I'd have felt the same way. I have many friends and family members on the other side who I love and remain close to, even though we don't agree on politics at all. I don't think the murderer who shot Charlie Kirk represents anyone. This was a sick person who believed violence was a solution, and it isn't. Ever. And also, selfishly, I am a person who gets a lot of threats. I get many ugly and scary threats against my life, my wife, my kids, my coworkers, because of what I choose to say. And I know those threats don't come from the kind of people on the right who I know and love. So that's what I wanted to say on that subject. But I don't want to make this about me, because, and I know this is what people say when they make things about them, but I really don't. This show is not important. What is important is that we get to live in a country that allows us to have a show like this. Yeah. I've had the opportunity to meet and spend time with comedians.
I'm going to end it there. I think he's said everything that I need to hear. The audience was annoying as hell. Yeah, I don't know. What do you all think? Cole says, take five on the way. Hopefully that doesn't mean that this has crapped out again. Since I started take four, is it still there? I think it is. All right, so maybe I unlocked the secret code or something. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.